Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This episode of the Big Brother Jake podcast is brought to you by Fabulista Cookies. Their products are freshly measured, mixed, baked, and packaged. You can be sure that the goodies you receive have not been sitting pre-made for days, because that's just gross. A freshness and unfabricated homemade quality awaits you. Let nostalgia be your friend, your transporter, your memory rouser. Go to FabulistaCookies.com and let them know the Big Brother Jake podcast sent you.
Jake Warner was at the control.
So sit back, relax, and check this joint out right here.
Jake!
Yo!
Okay, here we go.
So good to be back.
This podcast is for the people.
No, nobody knows who I am.
Jake! Live from the Big Brother bungalow in Southern California.
Ready to talk a bunch of nonsense with you.
I can't stand them.
It's the Big Brother Jake podcast.
Yo, what's good? It's the Big Brother Jake podcast. I'm your host, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner.
My government name.
Welcome to the show. You can listen to the show on SoundCloud.com/The Big Brother Jake Podcast. You can go to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, and now the biggest platform of them all, PodcastOne.com. Enter the keyword search, The Big Brother Jake Podcast, and boom, you're in there. I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to waste no time. I got royalty on my podcast. Now, this guy I've listened to as a fan for many years, and now we're friends. We do check-ins. You know, we talk dad stuff, radio stuff. It's my man, the host of the Aaron Bender podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Bender is in the building. What's good with it?
Jake, this has been too long in making, man.
Way too long. Way too long. And I'm glad you know you've made time for me, man. Like, listen to this voice. I wish I had that voice though, man. That voice, like I have this high pitched, whiny, hollow voice. But you got like three testicles, like you know, like it sounds good. I wish I could pay for a voice like that, man. A dope voice.
It's all in the processing, man. It's smoke and mirrors and processing.
But thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate you.
You got it, man.
You know, so. I want to talk to you about a lot of things. You know, there's so many things we could talk about. But I have to thank you, first of all, before we even get started, because on past podcasts, I've talked about me being ill and not feeling well. And you were one of the few people that checked in on me every single day. Like, every day. So I got to give you your roses, man. And I appreciate that.
I love you, brother. You're alive. You're
man,
alive.
Yes, I'm about to celebrate number 45 in a couple days, so I'm excited about that. And, you know, you were always encouraging, and you were always, like, there for me. And I have to start the podcast off with that first and foremost, so thank you for that.
Thank you, man. And honestly, there are a lot of situations that people get into by their choice or otherwise,
right,
where they don't let people in. They don't let people either check in on them or help them or whatever, and You were gracious enough to share with me what was going on in your life, and I appreciate the opportunity to be there for you. And honestly, it's repaying because these last couple of years, I've gone through my own shit,
right?
And you've been there for me. So, and that's what friends do. That's what brothers do.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, man.
No, I appreciate you, and we'll get into that a little bit, not too much, you know,
yep.
But we'll get into it because, you know, it's a part of your makeup and where you've gotten to today, and
yes.
So we'll definitely touch on that. But
and I've told you nothing's off limits.
I asked that of everybody, and almost everybody has something like, oh, you know, I can't talk about blah, 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 but you said that, so, you know, I respect that. And we'll go there in a couple places and we'll have fun with it, you know.
Yes.
But for those that know, Aaron Bender, you know, you've been in the business over 20 years. You're one of the biggest stations of them all, KFI. You know,
yep.
Can you talk about how you got started in the business? Because that's what everyone asks me all the time. What markets you worked in before and what led to working your quote-unquote dream job at KFI?
Yeah. So, you know, the kind of Cliff's Notes version of the story is basically I graduated high school. I had no idea what I wanted to do. Graduated Charter Oak High School in Covina. Had no idea. Everybody was going to Mount SAC, the community college down the street, the feeder for the San Gabriel Valley.
Yeah.
and I was like, you know what? I'll just do that. I'll kind of figure out what I want to do. And I had a couple office jobs that I liked. Mm-hmm. And so after a couple of years, I said, you know what? I'll work in an office, so I'll get a business degree. And I looked at all the different options like accounting and finance. I was like, well, that's not for me. Maybe marketing. So I started taking these business marketing classes at Mount SAC, and you know, a couple of them were checking some boxes. But then I got to some of the more advanced accounting classes as a business major and economics classes, and I was like, no. this is not for me. And I was actually failing one of the classes, English 1C, critical thinking and writing.
Oh wow!
I had that with Professor Betsy McCormick, who was one of the toughest but best teachers on campus at Mount SAC. She might still be there. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed that class to move on. I needed that class to fulfill all the transfer requirements for Cal State Fullerton because I was going to go there on the business degree. I had everything. I was already registered for classes.
Oh, wow.
And so let's say English 1C ends in the summer on a Friday and Fullerton starts on Monday or Tuesday. I withdrew from all my classes at Fullerton.
Oh, wow.
Betsy allowed me to take a withdrawal. And it was basically just a wake-up call for me to, okay, this business thing is not for me. So my mom and I literally sat there with the college catalog for Mount SAC and said, what would be interesting? What would be fun? Looked at radio and I said, yeah, you know what? Let's give that a shot. And got there. I fell in love. Tried news while I was there. Fell in love with that. And one of my professors said, you know what? You should go to CSUN. Mm-hmm. Go to Cal State Northridge. They have a great broadcasting program. They have a great they win awards. They win professional awards, Golden Mike Awards.
Yes.
And so I went there just on her suggestion, her advice. I went there. The first day of classes was the first day I stepped on campus.
Wow.
But I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And ended up getting a job in Fresno. From there, spent 3 years in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
From there, went to Miami.
Oh, boy.
3 years in Miami. I have some thoughts about that. But it was the same company as KFI, WIOD in Miami.
Yes. No, it was.
It was iHeartRadio.
Yes.
And or iHeartMedia. And actually, I think at the time it was Clear Channel, but nonetheless.
For sure, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nonetheless, Chris Little, the news director at KFI, hit me up and said, you know, I've heard your stuff on our news network. Sounds good. Send me some stuff. Okay, you've sent me stuff. You're not there yet. Keep sending me things, and I'll let you know when you are there.
Wow.
And so I did. I started actually doing reports for WIOD in the KFI style, super short. You know, yeah, we had a lot more time at IOD, but I wanted to get to KFI and I wanted to hone my skills and not have to do double the work.
Right.
And so IOD was really cool about like, yeah, go ahead and shorten it up if you want, you know, 3 or 4 sound bites in a 30-second rap. Sure. So, so I did. And I think the summer of 07, Chris Little was like, yeah, you know what? You're ready. Let's go. Let's do this. So I started around Labor Day weekend of 07.
Wow.
Was finally a street reporter. I had been wanting so badly to just be a street reporter because I was an editor, I was an anchor, I was a host, I was this, I was that, but never a full-time street reporter. So a few months into that, as a street reporter, they said, okay, can you anchor on Saturdays? Mm. We need an anchor on Saturdays. So, okay, that's cool. Yeah, let's do that. And I want to say early 08, they said, well, our night show is getting blown out. Can you anchor evenings? And I responded, no, I don't want to.
Los Angeles, market number 2, you had the cojones to say, I don't want to do evenings on KFI that can be heard all over?
Well, we've decided I had a third testicle, so I had one there to burn. And they told me, they said, well, it's not really a choice. You're anchoring. You start on Monday or whatever it was.
Yes.
And honestly, that was the best thing to ever happen to my career because it was the first time, even though I had been doing street reporting relatively full time, it was actually the first time that I was just doing one thing and could focus on that.
Right.
And I had the routine of anchoring every night during what at the time was Kennedy in Suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then became the Tim Conway Jr. show. And that just blew up. it just absolutely blew up. And right. I was having it was my dream job. It really was to be a sidekick, to be not a co-host, but a sidekick.
Right.
And really just kind of interjecting the news and some commentary and some fun. And of course with Tim, you just go along for the ride.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
you make sure you keep eye contact with him because he may go in a completely different direction. and so that's how I ended up at KFI. That's how I ended up with the dream job.
Okay. So I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to go backwards just a second. So yep. Your love for radio did not come until you went to college.
What's interesting, and I think a lot of people and guests of mine on the podcast will tell me, they grew up kind of pretending to be in media, be a reporter, be a DJ.
That was me.
Yeah. And it wasn't until later for many that they thought, oh, I could do that as a job. And so I look back to my, I look back to my childhood and I can remember making mixtapes.
Yes.
I could remember, and not just making mixtapes, but like blending, because I had that two cassette boombox.
Yeah, I did the same thing. You could you hit the pause button real slow and you could man.
So there was that. I would intro songs. There was a time at the Orange County Fair that I found the Coast 103.5 booth and I was the kid DJ. I didn't hit the post on that Celine Dion song, but that's okay. We're not worried about that 30 years later.
How dare you?
And, yeah, right? And so I haven't seen these videos in a while. I need to get my mom to find the videos and digitize them. I would do reports from around the house. For what was it? I think it was the Blender Zone.
Oh, that's
funny. I would be like the Twilight Zone host, but it was the Blender Zone.
Oh, okay.
And I would do our address growing up was 105.9, so I would pretend I was on power. I was on power 106. You know,
we all did growing up in SoCal, man.
Yeah, but I just never put two and two together. Like, okay, I could do this. I was never passionate really, about that or really anything else growing up until it clicked that I could do that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because most people, you know, you like when I was on your podcast, you know, I've been wanting to do this since I was 5, and I had a few stops along the way, you know, working in an office and all that stuff, which I hated.
The Navy,
yeah, just that little thing called the Navy I was part of. No big deal, you know. Just
hey, did you ever? I'm going to interview you.
Yeah,
on your
go
podcast
ahead, please do.
Quick.
I love
did you
this.
Ever think about going into Armed Forces Radio?
You know, I
like,
did.
Like
but
Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam
see,
or something?
That's every radio geek that's in the military's dream. But they always told me, well, you have an ear for mixing. You have an ear for production. But your voice is not an ideal radio voice. And I was like, I get that. That's fine. So in my head the whole time, I always thought I wasn't good enough. That's why I started a podcast. I mean, I was a sidekick on Fox Sports Radio with Ben Maller and JT the Brick. And some other shows on the network. And that's how I got comfortable in front of a microphone because it was a national audience and I had to be on the ready, you know. But yeah, Armed Forces Radio was something I was like, I think I could do that. I got shot down right away. They were like, you just.
But that was at a time when you needed a radio voice or at least the management would say, oh, you know what, you don't have the voice for it.
Exactly.
And it's something I tell my students at Cal State Northridge now, your voice does not matter. It does not. So long as you're being your authentic self and so long as you're just speaking from your heart, the voice really doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And that's what I learned because my first stop was at the Academy of Radio Broadcasting. Now it's Academy of Radio and TV in Huntington Beach. And the first thing they said was, don't worry about the voice. It's the personality that shines.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's when I was like, okay, I think I could do this. And, yeah, I wanted to do that. And I got even when I got into the business further along, it was always you don't have the voice, but you have an ear for mixing, you have an ear for making imaging and promos, and I'm like, thanks, okay, I appreciate that, I guess, you know. So that's how that happened, but you know, it amazes me, especially your voice. Like, it's such a good voice that I would have figured people would have been like, oh man. you know, you should be doing this when you were younger and hearing all that. Like, that surprises me to hear that college is where you figured it out.
Yeah, and you know, thinking back, I feel like I probably did hear that some in high school.
Sure.
But I just never thought that I just never thought I could do that.
Right.
Not to mention, I don't know that I even knew what would go into that. Like, how could I be a Rick Dees?
Yes.
I can't do that.
That's the first step, is trying to figure out how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and finding your niche, you know. So now I'm going to go back forward again. See, I told you, be ready for anything. I'm a roller coaster.
Bounce around, baby.
That's me. It's like squirrel. That's how I do things. You know, I rarely prepare, and it shows. So you get your chops in Fresno, and then you go to Miami, which Miami's a crazy-ass city to begin with. You know, being young and being in Miami, I got in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble I won't even discuss. When I was working for the Dodgers, you know, spring training was in Vero. I had a day off. We'd shoot down to Miami 3 hours south, you know, and have a good time. So you get your chops in Miami, and you get a big market feel. Then you come home to Los Angeles, and you're working at KFI. And you're working on Tim Conway Jr. show, which, great show. Everyone knows it. And that's, you know, I would listen every night, and I'm like, oh, you know, the Bender guy. Yeah, he's the radio guy as my makeshift camera falls, you know.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I thought maybe there was an earthquake over there.
Not going to edit that out. So, so you finally get to, like, your home market, and things are going well. What's it like sitting in those studios every single night? You walk in, and you're like, damn, this is the dream job. This is what I worked really hard for.
What? Goosebumps, man.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. You know, you mm-hmm. walk in, you see all the golden mics. You sit in that booth, and you're sitting across from Tim. It was a dream every night.
Yeah.
Every night, just to be able to crack open the mic. I loved – one of the things that I think is lost on a lot of people who either listen to the radio or watch TV is the idea that many of the anchors, the presumption or assumption is that anchors just – read whatever's put in front of them, like Ron Burgundy or something. and honestly, you know, many do.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to that point in your career where you can do that.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you surround yourself with enough people who know to write in your voice.
Right.
And you trust those people. I would get in, and about half the time, maybe two-thirds of the time, I would get in, and I would... Because I'm working evenings, and it's one of the last times that those stories are going to be read for the day,
right?
I would try to rewrite as much as I could in my voice and just make it my style mixed with KFI style, mixed with what Tim, you know, like there were some stories that I just wouldn't do during Tim's show because it was actually one of the few like family friendly shows for the most part on the radio. And so, you know, I wouldn't do like the child abuse stories unless I had to because it was such big news, the Gabriel Fernandez story or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would just that's what I geek out on is the writing.
Yeah.
Is writing all the news in my voice and just having that kind of fun delivering it.
Yes.
And inserting my slang, inserting my style and my personality. And that for me was the dream.
Mm-hmm.
That is the dream personified right there. And just, you know, getting to know Tim and being able to work with Tim. And, you know, it's not to say that I wasn't without issues.
Sure.
You know, I remember I was suspended shortly after Ted Kennedy died because I went on the air at, I think, 10:30 that night that he died. The news flash had come over after my 10 o'clock newscast was done, and my headline on that 10:30 news was, Ted Kennedy is a dead Kennedy. I'm Aaron Bender, live in the KFI newsroom. And at least one listener did not appreciate that, nor did management, and so I was suspended shortly thereafter. There's another incident where I posted something on Twitter that I shouldn't have.
Right.
And, you know, these are learning tools. These are life lessons.
Right.
This is what was a teachable moment, you know, as Obama would say. by and large, 99% of it was just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And I always say this. If you haven't gotten either a death threat or suspended in radio, you've never done nothing in your career. I say that.
Yes.
And I've gotten both. I've done both. I got suspended for...
There he goes.
I can't believe I'm going to say this on the air. I'll do it anyway. I was on the Fox Morning Show. It was a show called Out of Bounds. It was Craig Sheeman and former Dallas Cowboy James Washington. That almost won the Super Bowl MVP. He missed it by 3 votes and lost it to Emmitt Smith. And we were talking about Drew Brees. And, you know, Drew Brees has, you know, he's former quarterback of the New Orleans Saints and a former Charger, for those that don't know who Drew Brees is, because my audience doesn't always watch sports.
Right.
And he has the birthmark on his face. It's that big birthmark. And I would always play the soundbite when he was on Oprah Winfrey of her trying to, like, remove lipstick from his face. But it was his birthmark.
Oh, I didn't know. No, yeah, I didn't know that she did that.
Yeah, she did that. And so I cut that up, and we were supposed to have him on. And I kept firing off that sound. I was a board op and an on-air sidekick at the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, Sheeman and J-Dub, that's what we called him, they just kept talking about how it looked like a piece of dookie on his face, this, that, and the other. And not even an hour after our shift, I was on my way home. And at that time, I lived in Covina and was commuting from Sherman Oaks. Okay?
Yeah.
I got a call halfway home in Pasadena and said, get your ass back to the office right now. I was like, oh shit. So I flip a U, get back on the 210, head over to Sherman Oaks. I already see James, Craig, Eddie Garcia, update anchor at Fox, and sidekick for Ben Maller, all in the office sitting there. And they're waiting for me, and I was like, oh, shit. If they're in the office, if Annie's in the office, he never does anything wrong. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
We had the PR of the Saints send a cease and desist letter of our show saying, you know, we want them off the air or we want to honor our apology. By all of them. I don't even care who didn't say anything. The whole show better apologize. And we want some kind of retribution for it.
Wow.
So we... we made this real sappy, sorry, where we apologize, da, 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 da. As soon as that aired, like I cut it up. We aired it during different shows on the network, and I was suspended for 3 days. It worked out because I was going to Vegas that weekend anyway, so I wasn't even mad about it. Like, oh, I don't get paid for Friday. All right, that's cool. And Monday, oh, yeah, that's fine. All right. So, yeah, so that's my suspension. I've never told that
Please
story.
Tell me you put $20 on the Saints that weekend. Just
I should have. I wanted them to lose, though, because I was mad. And Drew Brees still came on the show. He's like, I heard what you guys said. I heard what you guys said, but, you know, it's pretty funny. I'm like, well, if you laughed, then why don't you tell people? We all got in trouble. So, so I always say if you don't get suspended or if you don't get a death threat, and I got a death threat from Raider fans, but that's a whole other story, you know. But, that was fun times. I can tell that real quick. You know, I'm supposed to interview you, but, you know, we're just shooting the shit right now.
Well, I want, my next question was going to be, like, why, wait a minute, death threats.
Okay, so here's what happened. Being a Charger fan, I hate the Raiders with a passion. You know, I always had respect for, like, Lyle Alzado and people like that. I worked with Bob Golic, who used to play for the Raiders, too. He was at Fox Sports Radio. And I said, all right, here's a public service announcement. For all you parole officers looking for your parolees on Sunday afternoon, you can find them at this address. And I gave out the address to the Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
See, that's good. So, that's good.
So I'm like, yeah, that was funny. I got over on that. I get out to the parking lot. There's these two big cholos. Hey, fool, what you talking about, eh? Making fun of Raider fans? I'll kick your ass, Vato. And I'm like, oh, my God. And these dudes were big. Like, at the time, I was pushing 330, so I was like, all right, I look big, but I can't fight two of them this big. If they're two skinny guys, I could probably take them. And I was just like, man, it's just jokes, man. It's just jokes. Why are you tripping? You know, you're lucky, eh, because we could kill you right now, Holmes. We'll fuck you up, man. And I was like, bro, it's just jokes, man. And he's like, see you later, eh? And they left. And so security came out after they left. Like, hey, man,
after,
you all right?
Of course, right.
I'm like, man, Barney Fife, get your ass back to where you were, man. I needed you back then. But I held my own, and I was scared. Because they were, like, neck tats, face tats, everything, man. It was crazy.
Death threats. Wow.
Death threats. And I was proud of that.
On a sports. I mean, it's. Yeah.
But people, I mean, like, certain fan bases take it serious, you know? And Raider fans are one of them, you know? But that's just how it goes. And, I mean, again, suspensions or death threats. You've made it. And we both lived that life, man. We're about that life, Aaron.
We're about that life.
So
I'm banging radio. What set you claim?
Fox Sports Radio. Set. What, son? So, all right, enough about me. So you're working your dream job. You're at KFI. Life is good. What are some of the greatest moments you had while working at KFI?
Oh, gosh.
What's one that just you think about, like, damn, I can't believe that happened, or I'm proud of that moment in my career? I mean, I would have been proud of the headline myself. But.
Yeah. Well, I honestly was proud of the headline. I will say that. I wasn't happy with the results of the headline, but that headline, I felt pretty good
that
about
was that. Great. I'm sorry, it was good. I liked it. But
so, I mean, I don't know that there's really one thing I can point to, but they all have to do with live events happening as we're on the air. You know, I've had earthquakes happen. I've had, wildfires, and you go into breaking news mode, which I felt like I excelled at as an anchor covering breaking news, riots. Mm-hmm. You remember that that guy who stole a plane up in Seattle and was doing loop-de-loops and things like that? We got word of that because somebody either emailed us or tweeted us, and so we started covering it live from LA, but it was such a fascinating event. How could we not?
Right.
And I was getting tattoos on the air because because we would do this fundraiser every year, and part of that I would say, come get a tattoo with me in studio.
Wow.
And so I would get a tattoo, and then a listener who would donate like $550 or whatever it was would come in and get the tattoo with me in studio. And I would do that while I'm on the air.
That's awesome.
I'm doing newscasts while I and then after the show was done, we'd go back to the office if he needed to do some shading or something like that, you know. But just, I mean, honestly, just all kinds of fun moments. You know, as you know from being on the air, there are so many times when you just lose it.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't hold it together.
Yeah.
And, you're crying on the air because you're laughing so hard.
Yes.
And you look around and all your friends are laughing too. And it's just.
Those are amazing times. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best. It was honestly, it was just working with that team, Sharon and Mondo and Tim and all the different guest hosts who would come in and the different board ops and everything. But an Angel. Misty, everybody was just so great to work with. And you just look around, you're working with your friends.
Yeah. And it showed on the air, like you could hear it on the air, because I would listen to you guys going into work at Fox Sports Radio. And you guys always sounded like you had a good time, like every night. I'm like, damn, I want to sit up in that studio and hang out with them, because it just sounded like so much fun. And that's the key to any great radio show is having fun doing it. When you're exhausted after a show, that's when you've done a good show, as you know.
Bingo.
And those moments are moments that I used to cherish too. Like I would love, we push the envelope like all the time, and a little too far apparently with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But those are the greatest moments. And it may not even be the best show sometimes to the listener, but you had a good time and it's like, damn, that was fun. And then it's like, did you listen? Yeah, it was good. Like, good. We had a good time. What are you talking about? So yeah, those moments are always great, So you go through that, you experience that, you're on a hit show and everything's going well for you. And then as time goes on, some things take place and you're no longer with KFI. You lose your dream job.
Yep.
And you go into a place that's kind of dark. And, this is about the time where you and I started getting a little closer. Just talking back and forth and realizing that, man, things like this can happen. Tell me about how you were feeling at the time, because at the time it just seemed like you were losing like a grip on everything, everything that was going on with your wife at the same time. KFI.
Yeah.
Like, take me to that place in your mind and how you were feeling.
Lost, dejected. I mean, I was questioning, like, wait a minute, how how have I been living my life?
Right.
You know, like why did this happen now? I mean, we're talking, early November of 2019. Mm-hmm. I lose my job. I'm questioning, like, you know, all kinds of things. It was around one of my daughter's birthdays and it's coming up into Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then, you know, wife's birthday, Christmas, anniversary. And then January rolls around and we learn that the breast cancer that she had fought back in 17 and 18 not only came back, but spread like everywhere.
Right.
And so it was like, wow, okay. So I've lost my job and now we learn that my wife's got, basically what turned out to be terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 months later, the pandemic takes hold.
Right. Yeah.
So honestly, that whole like 5 or 6 months, that little stretch right there is both a blur and everything is like crystal clear. It's yeah. really kind of strange how it's like,
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really, up until my wife's diagnosis and the pandemic taking hold, I really questioned, like, why, God? Why?
Right. Yeah.
Why now? Why couldn't you show me a different sign?
Right.
You know, take me in a different direction. I wasn't living my life the way I should have been living my life,
mm-hmm.
making really poor decisions, big mistakes after big mistakes. It was awful. 2019 was a terrible year.
Right.
And it wasn't until my wife's diagnosis and the pandemic that I realized that my losing my job was a gift.
Yeah.
That it was an opportunity and a blessing to reconnect with my family, reconnect with myself.
Yeah.
And reconnect with my faith. Like, oh, okay. That's why God did that when he did.
Yeah.
That's why. And so all of last year, you know, I spent taking care of my wife. I spent taking care of the girls who are now, you know, doing school time from home, still are.
Right.
Because we chose in August the online for the rest of the school year option because we don't know what the pandemic's going to do. And
right.
we don't know, you know, my wife's condition. How long is it going to be the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
So that's still happening now, running school time every morning. And so that's what last year was, you know, I deleted all my social media.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I actually, it's weird. I deleted all my social media and then started a LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because I'm half looking for a job that I can
sure.
do from home.
Right.
And so all of a sudden the LinkedIn emails weren't annoying. For the first time ever.
Of course.
For the first time ever, I actually had LinkedIn emails activated. So, I spent last year just reconnecting with my family, with myself, and with my faith.
Right.
And, you know, my wife ended up passing away in mid-November mm-hmm. of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I mean, the roller coaster of emotions, the 2 to 3 months following that.
Right.
I hope it's the worst. I hope the 15 months from losing job to losing my wife, I hope that's the worst stretch in my entire life. I really do. I hope that's
yeah.
the worst. Because any worse than that, I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine.
No, I can only imagine. I mean, just hearing that.
And so it really, honestly, it just taught me, and thankfully I was listening. It just taught me, and my wife basically trained me all last year, knowing that she was going to die.
Mm.
My wife trained me to be a better person. A better husband, a better father.
Right. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for my losing my job, I wouldn't have been there to take care of her.
Right.
I wouldn't have been there to take care of my girls.
Yeah.
You know, and so you talk about my mindset. I feel like we go back to that. I feel like I was just kind of floating and just numb and just walking. I was It's like The Walking Dead.
Right, yeah.
For a couple of months. And then my wife's diagnosis and then the pandemic. And you just, you spring back to life and say, what do you need? Where do you need me?
Yeah.
And so she passed away in November. Took a couple of months to really kind of shake off the cobwebs. Like, wait a minute, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, starting with you and Alex on the mic and Nick Valencia, all people who have been instrumental in just being my friends through this, being my confidants and my partners through all of this.
Right.
I was like, you know what? I want to restart the podcast.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was an opportunity. You know, I'd spent all of last year, again, reconnecting with family, faith, and myself.
Right.
This was an opportunity to reconnect with the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how I kind of view this podcast and these other things I have going on with other media outlets.
Yeah.
And it's just a blessing, man. It's just...
No, I understand, man. And I know, and I appreciate you being so transparent and candid, man. And, cause I know this isn't easy for you to talk about, but I love the fact that you're willing to talk about it. Because I have audience members that listen that are currently going through what you're going through and have gone through it. And I think one of the greatest things was I was listening to your podcast, the last episode with Maria. I always forget how to say her last name. Channel 11.
Maria Caban.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. And how you both told your stories. It was so beautifully like told. I'm sitting in the car crying because of the last moments with your wife and your girls. And the fact that you let it be known that like it was okay for them to have that moment. Because a lot of parents are like, they're so protective. And like, no, you shouldn't go through a moment like that. And the fact that, you know, you were like, no, they need that moment and it's okay. And the fact that you're candid about this whole situation, you know, and I know like it was great to connect with you. And when you told me, I remember the text clear as day. I'll never forget the text when you text me. And I had felt bad because I hadn't reached out to you, but I didn't really know how to reach out to you because you were still kind of, you know, handling business. So I was like, I'm here if you need me, loving you from afar. But when you told me, all I could do was just like, hey man, you know I got you for anything. And the fact that, you know, it's always harder for a dad because dad with girls, you know, because they're raised a different way when they have a mom, you know, we know that. And the fact that you've persevered and you're strong. And I know some days are harder than others, but you always keep it moving, Aaron. And I've always admired that about you.
I appreciate that, man. I mean, it's you talk about always keeping it moving. And for, you know, the majority of my life, that's what it was. Like, just keep moving forward. Don't look left. Don't look right.
Right.
Just keep moving forward with whatever. You know, just adrenaline pumping. Let's just go. And I never, for, you know, the first 43 years of my life, I never let myself take breaks
right.
or rest
yeah.
if I needed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a couple of nights ago, I stayed up late doing an episode until like 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up the next morning exhausted. And it hit me like, wait a minute. I spent like 35 years feeling this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
How did I do that? Why did I do that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've learned to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to show myself grace and allow breaks, allow naps, allow rest, allow, you know, I think I've been golfing more in the last like 5 months than in the previous 30 years. You know, it just, because my brother-in-law and my daughter's godfather, one of them,
mm-hmm.
they love to golf and they had been asking me, you know, for forever. Like, hey, let's go golfing. Let's go
right.
golfing. Every now and then I would go. But now it's like, yeah, let's go. I'm going to get out. I'm going to connect with you guys. I'm going to connect with nature. I'm just going to just get out of these four walls that we've all been stuck in for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And it's just, it's that there is something so powerful about just surrendering to the moment and whatever it is that's going on in your life.
See,
you know, not trying to manipulate outcomes, not trying to manipulate feelings.
Yes.
You know what? If you don't like me, okay, that's cool.
Right.
I love you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And I would never in life ever compare any situation of yours to mine. But that's how I got sick and ended up in the hospital almost dying myself is I was so deep in the work. Because we love what we do. It's a paid hobby. That's what I call it, a paid hobby. I love doing this. And you just get so buried in work because you don't have to think about other things. You're just like, yeah, I'm working. I'm trying to be successful. And you don't sit back and smell the roses. And it isn't until you're forced one way or the other that you have to realize, look, man, you're blessed to have what you have. And you're blessed to do what you do. But sometimes you got to sit back and not do for others and do for yourself. You know, and with everything you've been through, you know, it's so amazing to see that. And I wanted to tell you that and let the world know. Because after you told me about your wife and you said, hey, I'm here if you need anything. I'm like, bro, what about you? Like, I'm here for you. Like, I started thinking about it, you know, just being a single dad. Like, dang, I got to do with my girl's hair. You know, I got to do stuff like that. But it's like I get a break, you know, like they go back to my mom. But it's all on you. And, you know, and you've been blessed with help with your in-laws and all that kind of stuff, you know. And And so I'm like, Aaron's going to be all right. Just, you know, I hear it in his voice because you were a different guy. And you sounded stronger. You sounded stronger. You sounded more, you know, like good to go. And then the news that made me happy, because you were doing a podcast while working at KFI. And because it was, you know, iHeart, you couldn't, you know, you had to cease and desist and all that stuff. You know, if I'm talking out of school, I'm sorry. But but then the news that made me really happy was you said, Jake, I'm good. I'm getting back in the game. I'm about to do a podcast again. I was like, really? Really? Yeah, it's time. I'm ready to go. And that made me happy, man. Made my heart happy because I was like, that's good because he's creating normalcy again. And it's wonderful to see because you're so talented and you're such a great interviewer. Like, I'm a shit interviewer. I know that. I'm like, fly out the seat of my pants. I wrote down zero for this. And it probably shows and it's fine, but that's just my style. But I love listening to your podcast. Tell me why, tell everyone else that's listening, what made you get back into the podcasting world and the satisfaction you get out of it?
Well, it's an opportunity to reconnect. It's an opportunity to talk with people on a different level.
Yeah.
When I was doing the podcast a couple of years ago, it was all like, tell me about your career. Maybe we'd get into some personal stuff here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't getting into any personal stuff. Right. I was just asking them for theirs.
Right.
I was just asking them for their journeys. I was trying to get them to dive deep while I'm not letting anybody get anywhere near me.
Right.
And what's interesting is that in the 15 or 16 episodes that I've posted so far, and I've done other conversations that will be coming out in the next few weeks.
Nice.
I've had more of a connection in those episodes than in the 49 I did in 2019.
Right.
Because, you know, even though all of those, I think maybe only three or four.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of those episodes, the 49 episodes, I think only three or four were not in person, like physically in person. And yet I still wasn't making a deep connection with people as we're talking about how their dad died.
Right.
How their wife died, you know, how they are going through a divorce or, you know, you name it.
Right.
And I'm just thinking of it like, oh, this is content. This is content. Yeah. This is great.
Sure.
And what I like about where the podcast is now is that it's an opportunity to just have a conversation and share with people my story, their story.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity to get deep to the point where in these, you know, dozen plus episodes that I've posted so far, the connections have already been deeper than in all the other ones combined.
Oh, yeah. It's engaging. Like, listening with you and Maria talk about being widows. Like, I literally cried in the car for a whole hour. Like, crying. I had to pull over.
Because you just survived.
Yes.
You just survived. I mean, and I've talked with my in-laws about your situation. The idea that if you had lost consciousness that night that you went to the hospital, that you were you would have, A, maybe not woken up.
Nope.
Or B, woken up but without a leg.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But God said, okay, stay awake with Jake.
my old school.
Little callback to Ben Mallett. So Jake, stay awake, because if you don't, some really terrible things are about to happen.
Yes.
And so you listen to a podcast like that, you listen to a conversation like that, whether it's me and Maria or anybody else, where people are sharing their genuine feelings,
yes,
whether it's about love, life, death, and everything in between.
Yes.
It connects with people.
It does.
It connects. And I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
I do too. And I love the fact that, you know, you guys were crying together. And because you guys have something in common that you both share. And I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. Like, I'm telling all my friends, you got to download this episode, man. Like, you really need to listen to this. And I mean, I do them all your episodes, but that one just hit me in the heart, man. Like, uppercut. Like, and I was driving from your neck of the woods, actually, because I had to do some business there.
Yeah.
And I got to Hollywood. And I had to pull off the freeway because I was crying so hard. But it was so heartfelt. And I was like, damn, okay. They can get through they get through. No, it was brilliant. I was like, I could do this too. Because as crazy as it sounds, like, when you get a second chance at life, whether it's figuratively, literally, you almost kind of have like that survivor's guilt, I guess you could say. Or you feel guilty that, like, do I really deserve this second chance? Or... And then you're like, I better make the best of this. I better not waste it, you know? Like, you got to let go at KFI. But it was for a reason, and you accepted that. And then you realize, yeah, that's a blessing in disguise, you know?
I've been feeling that for months, man.
Yeah.
The survivor's guilt is real.
It is.
It is heavy.
It is. It is.
It is heavy.
Yeah.
The better person in this marriage, the better person is not here. I mean, that's one of the things I kept asking myself, and my wife too.
Yeah.
Last year was why not me?
Yeah.
Why not me? Give the daughters their mother.
Mm.
Please give our daughters their mother. Take me.
Wow.
And at some point you have to give that up and just say, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the best of it. And I'm going to do what I can to make sure that, A, my daughters never forget their mom. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, that they never think I mean, I've got daughters 6 and 8. And you know, I dread at 12 and 14 and 16. I know they're going to want their mom.
Of course. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much I can do.
Yeah.
And I just got to just do the next right thing and do the best thing I can.
And that's all you can really do, Aaron, you know? And, you know, I admire you, brother. You know, I admire you for that. And those girls will see, you know, and they do now, that their dad is a superhero. Okay. You've been through it, and when they get older and they go back and like, I want to hear Dad's old podcasts and all this stuff. Some of them maybe not, but like, no, I'm just kidding.
Not the ones with the E next to it.
But they're gonna say, wow, our dad was brave. Our dad went on some airwaves. He went on a media platform and put it all out there. And see, that's admirable, man. And that's one of the things I admire the hell out of you for. as, you know, you're candid. Like, I'm an open book. I don't care. Like, I protect certain things. I believe it or not, I don't live totally public. But, like, some things are off limits. But, you know, as radio guys, as on-air personalities, whatever, we love content. So we're like, some of it's content, but sometimes you just got to get it out. And that's where, like, my podcast was therapeutic through divorce, through health scares, through even went back and dated, had a girlfriend and broke up with her, all while my divorce is finalizing.
Through Dodgers losses in the World Series. Yes! It's therapeutic. Oh! It's therapeutic.
I still hate Houston, by the way.
I know.
I hate Houston. I hate the city. I hate the people.
there's somebody I used to work with who now works in Houston, and they'll post pictures at Astros games, and I just light them up.
Yeah, I would
just
too.
Light
that's
them
just
up.
Nauseating. But before I let you go,
first off, before we get into that, I want to touch on something that we almost got to.
Okay.
But I think I took it in a different direction. But I do want to mention, especially as people are hearing this,
yes,
and maybe some of their boxes are getting checked. Like, okay,
sure,
I feel that way, or I think that, or that's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I blocked out for 35. I keep saying 35 years because around 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old is when my parents were about to and then divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around that time that I feel like I started just blocking everything out pain-wise, anything uncomfortable or anything. And only recently, in the last year or so, because of the pain that I saw my wife going through and the pain that I recognized that I was going through and that our family endured and is still experiencing, I learned empathy.
Yes.
Which, you know, I never knew I wasn't empathetic.
Mm.
Because I just figured what I was feeling was normal, or what I was feeling was the extent of what I could feel.
Right.
And only when I realized that I was blocking out that pain and not letting myself feel the bad, which meant also I couldn't feel the good.
Sure.
And just, you know, numbing uncomfortable experiences and numbing the pain. It was only in the last, you know, year and a half that I realized, okay, this is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
This is empathy. And it was only when I actually let that pain in and let it sit and let it sink in and let myself feel it. I cry with my daughters because I want them to know that it's okay to cry.
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
What's nice is that they cry with me and they have no problem. And seeing my
That's
now
beautiful.
6 years old, now my, so I have 6 and 8,
mm-hmm.
my 6 year old Wiley, she was 5 when Len died. And only now do I see those walls coming down, because at 5, I don't know that she knew exactly how to express herself.
Yeah.
And I don't know that she knew what she was feeling. And only now, 5 months, 6 months, you know, it's actually this week is 5 months since my wife passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Only now do I see those walls coming down, and it makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Because my walls didn't come down until 43 and 4.
Yeah.
Her walls are coming down at 5 and 6.
Yeah.
So we got to be doing something right.
Absolutely, yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I man, like, I admire you, brother. Like, you have no idea, man. You've been one hell of a friend to me with all my situations going on. And then we've had our private talks where you're like, hey, man, I have not been transparent with you about XYZ.
Yep.
And that conversation never left me, man. Like, that struck a chord with me. And I'm like, damn, that's a real man right there to be like, hey, I got to tell you something, man. This, that, and the other. And what you think is what I'm showing you is not what I'm showing you. And da 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 da. And I was like, that's one hell of a dude right there. And I got to tell you, man, I appreciate the hell out of you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. You know you can call me anytime. And I'm that friend that if you need a ride to the airport or someone just listen to, I got your back forever and always, man.
Airport ride. Airport ride.
I'll even help you move. Not the heavy stuff, man. You know, I might even chip in on a mover for you. But that's the kind of guy that, you know, you're a good friend like that. Like, I would do that for you. You're in that circle. And, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate your candor. I appreciate everything you've done for me, what you do for the people, because your podcast is, it's refreshing. You know, some people just like to hear themselves talk, you know, Jake Warner, my government name, and others want to educate, which I'm learning to do now, our edutain. But I want you to let the people know where they could find your podcast, where they could find your social media, and how they could download and do all that good stuff.
So the easiest way, and then I'll kind of break it down from there, is go to aaronbender.com. And that's a link tree that I've set up with all the different things.
Mm-hmm.
The Aaron Bender podcast on all your favorite platforms. I've learned through the metrics on the site that I use, Fireside, that Amazon and Apple are competing for how most people listen to my podcast, which is fascinating to me.
Look at this guy over here. Okay.
They got fascinating. So if you want to say, if you want to say, Alexa, play the Aaron Bender podcast, you totally could. You totally could. I love that.
That's a cool feeling, right?
It's a cool feeling, man. Sometimes I do that late at night when nobody else is awake.
Oh, I do it too.
But it's the Aaron Bender podcast on Facebook, Aaron Bender on Instagram and Twitter. I just this week started a YouTube channel, the Aaron Bender podcast, which also you can link through at aaronbender.com. And that is more of the conversation that you would get on the podcast, but right, in video form. And, you know, you get to see faces, you know, get to, and you know, this being a radio guy,
mm-hmm,
video is so foreign to me.
Who are you telling? I had a hard time trying to set this up.
I have been dragged kicking and screaming into YouTube, yep, yep, and Instagram, but you know, with the way Zoom is now, I grab that video content, I throw it up there, and we're good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's where everything's going nowadays, man. You know, like, I guess I'm about to lose a few pounds and show my face on TV or video or however.
I don't even know. It's you, man.
I'm just saying.
Let people see the progress. Let people see the progress.
Well, I'm trying, man. I mean, I can fit into a double XL. That's the first time in like 8 years.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. I'm so proud of you.
It only took a hospital scare and a blood sugar level of 406 and an A1C of 13.2. But, you know, I'm learning to get better.
So, my mother-in-law worked at Abbott Labs for decades, and I was telling her your numbers, and she's also diabetic. And I think she actually needed a shot of insulin after I was telling her your numbers. She was like, what? How is he not dead?
And yeah.
I was like, well,
yeah.
You know, he almost was.
I almost was. Absolutely. But you
so
know,
glad you're here, man.
Thanks,
seriously,
man. I appreciate seriously that. And I appreciate you coming on the Big Brother Jake podcast. And I had fun on the Aaron Bender podcast. That was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people that saw it, they were like, damn, man, like, there's some things I learned about you. I'm like, I can't give it all away, man. I can't give it all away. But you got it out of me, man. So, you know, anytime you want to do another, you know, home and away, I'm always down to do that, man. I'd love to have you come back on and just talk
feelings
other
mutual
stuff,
feelings
too.
Feelings mutual.
Absolutely. So,
seriously, we got to talk Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk. I mean, I'm not a big, big basketball guy, but as somebody who, you know, you work at the Clippers games, mm-hmm, and of course, you know, I love that you just posted this week that video of Kobe's last game, that last shot.
Man, I'll never forget that day. That was the craziest. That gives
me goosebumps just remembering it.
Thinking about it right now, I got it right now. That was fun. I was in the hockey booth working for ESPN Radio Taiwan, I think, or NBA.
Yeah.
It was one of them. No disrespect to whoever the outlet was that paid me. I was gracious for that. But sitting in 21 years of doing this, I've never cheered in a press box. I've never cheered doing games like that. And that day, I cheered. And there were some NBA officials in the booth cheering, too. And it's like, you have to. It's Kobe Bryant's last game, and he dropped 60. And he ends his career with an assist. If that's not the most ironic thing about Kobe Bryant, that never passed the ball, he couldn't even pass a kidney stone, passes the ball on the last play of his career, that's saying something. That's crazy stuff. But, yeah, it was a good time. And, yeah, we'll talk more. We'll talk all about.
For sure, man. I look forward to coming back.
I absolutely love it. And I'm going to land this plane, y'all. I'm going to land this plane right now. Thank you, Aaron Bender, for coming on. Check out the Aaron Bender podcast on all digital platforms and now YouTube. So make that happen. So until next time, y'all, I say to y'all, wait for it.
Ooh, can I do it with you?
Please. 1, 2, 3. Deuces!
You're listening to the Big Brother Jake podcast.